heard about a fellow that preached to the church about it. We need to take care of this problem. Amen. We need to take care of that problem. Amen. And then he said, and by the way, Farmer Brown says somebody's been stealing his chickens. And quiet came over the congregation. It's always easy to talk about somebody else's sin, isn't it? I hope nobody stops me after the message and say, why did you preach that today? That's not even the season. The scripture says it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. And he didn't say that can only be a certain month, certain day. No, it ought always be our joy. I want you to turn to Psalm 95. And it deals with thanksgiving. There's something, as he used to say in Shreveport, mighty sorry about a person who can't be thankful. If you lose the joy of who the Lord is and what he's done and what he provides to you daily, every breath you've ever drawn, every time your heart has beat, it's because God has been pleased to provide. And we forget that so easily. We get to the point where we think we're entitled. Culture leads us to think that. Maybe friends and family might help us to buy into that. But let's read the first 7 verses of Psalm 95. Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. And we just got through doing that. If you're not disposed, like one gal used to say, I don't feel the need. Why not? No, I just don't. I don't have the best voice. I know I don't have the best. I got a loud voice. But I've never entertained any notions that I had the sweetest voice or the bestest voice or whatever. But it doesn't say, only those of you who can make a lovely melody worth going into the recording studio. The same God that made the meadowlark made the bullfrog. And on spring or summer night, you hear the bullfrog, don't you? I would croak, croak. Nobody wants to hear me croak, croak. I think I got some of the wolves listening. Somebody say, if you do animal sounds, I'll listen. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Not my hands are out. I think it was in this pulpit Dan Cozart said years ago, my name is Jimmy and I'll take everything you'll give me. There are people with that attitude. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In his hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is his also. The sea is his, and he made it. And his hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Do you know what you were called to do? Christian man, woman, child, God has called you to worship. So he's wanting that. Preacher, I'm not a deacon, I don't have an office or a position in the church. If you're a child of God, if you have breath in your body, you're to use it to praise and thank the Lord. That's what it is.
Well, I might mess up. Does that keep you from cooking, ladies? My wife says, I might not do this right. Hey, I haven't got any complaints. Somebody else might say, well, I might ruffle somebody's feathers. I'll tell you what, the only person that never gets criticized is the person in the graveyard, because they don't do anything. You're going to make mistakes. You're going to fail to say the right thing. You're going to say the wrong thing. You're going to say the right thing the wrong way or at the wrong time. You can sit, oh, what if I? Just do the best. Didn't we just sing a song about that? Our best! Mr. Lee used to say, men always do your duty. You should never do less, and you can't do more. Do what is right, the best that you can. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. Who are we talking about? Who do we present ourselves to? Me? Just a human like you. I need a Savior, just like you need a Savior. I need one to keep my life going, just like you need someone to keep your life going. We thank the doctor. We are grateful to the hospital. We're thankful to people who provide us materials and give us guidance, give us help. I mean, we need help. But our great helper is the Lord. And all the other helps that we get are provided by the Lord. He orchestrates time and opportunities and circumstances. And that's one thing my parents taught me. Never forget a kindness. But the one who is kindest to us is our great God. And some people, the attitude is, well, that's nice, but I have a fish to fry, so to speak. I got places to go and things to do and people to see. What comes first? I'm a Christian when I need to be. I'm a Christian when it suits my fancy. He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand. I've got 10 things I want to quickly give you if you want to make a list. Things we ought to be thankful for. Back in, I guess it was the 40s, they did a song. They had a whole movie about some guy says, I'm going to have a hotel, but I'm lazy. I don't want to work regular. I'm just going to be open on the holidays. And so they called it Holiday Inn. Okay. And one of the songs he wrote was, I've got plenty to be thankful for. I think some people say, yeah, that's just a song. No, it's not. Every breath you've ever taken, every time your heart beats, every time the meal that you last ate, even if you skipped breakfast, you probably ate sometime yesterday. And what if the food that goes into you just sat there? It would rot. It would not benefit you. It would poison you. Well, I'll just have to tell my no. It's all taken care of. God has got us covered. And we take Him for granted. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 10. This might blow some people away, but the Lord put it in the Word anyway. 1 Timothy 4:10. Therefore we both labor and suffer reproach. If you serve the Lord the right way, you're going to put up with a lot of guff and a lot of stuff. That's all right, because of who you serve and what it is you're doing. Because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men. Does that mean everybody's going to heaven? I don't think so. Especially of those that believe. Say you have a neighbor. A family member, a friend, a co-worker, and they're just as lost as a goose, a golf ball in high weeds.
as lost can be, should they be thankful? God keeps them going. God gives them breath. We need to think about that. You owe so much to God. I owe so much to God. And if I had to qualify for it, would not have come to be. And so, time and time again, now, spiritual life, I think that's what's talking about in the last part. He is the Savior of all men. He is the life preserver. He is the maintainer. Colossians 1 says, He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. What is the glue? What is the completer and the adhesive, if you will? Keep everything together. It's our great God. The heathen had just as much to be thankful for in the material sense as we do. If they don't thank Him, it doesn't mean God is dropping the ball. Heard a story about a fellow. He was lived in a small town. He went to the big city, and he had his wife and kiddos with him. And they went into a restaurant. And they, folks could tell these were Hastings, you know. They were from out in the country. And the food came. You know, waitress brought the food, and okay, kids, let's bow our heads. And they prayed. And they could hear over at another table, some guys were snickering, cutting up. They got a lot of fun out of that. And so, at least they waited till the guy said amen. And they started to eat. Hey, mister, does everybody do that where you come from? And he said, no, sir, not every being. The hogs never do. But for those of us who are saved, now, there are people who don't see grace like we do, but I don't think I've ever talked to anybody that I really believe was a child of God that was not thankful for their salvation. They will agree, at least in a general sense, what Jonah said from the belly of the whale, salvation is of the Lord. Past, present, and future. The Lord is our Savior, just like we read 1 Timothy 4:10. He's the Savior of all men, especially those that believe. You have physical life because of the Lord. You have spiritual life because of the Lord. He has saved us. As I said, past, present, and future. He's the one who has delivered, He is delivering, and He doth yet deliver. In fact, let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. You know, people like us really like the book of Ephesians. We ought to like it. And you know, 65 books too. Ephesians chapter 2 reminds us about the blessings that we have. First three verses. And you have the quickening. That means He made you alive. He just changed your mind. He just changed your circumstances. He gave you life, spiritual life. Who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world. All those pressures, all those concerns, all those issues. According to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. I got news for you, folks. The devil is not on vacation. He is targeting the Lord's people, individuals and groups. That should get our attention. Among whom also we have our conversation times past in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. We had the same priorities, the same proclivities. We were just sinners. Yeah, I was a sinner. I got news for you. I still am. I'm a sinner saved by grace. I got more news. You are too. It's the grace of God that saves us, but I still have that sin nature. There's a part of me that has a capacity. I might not do the deed, I might not say the word, but I might think the thought. But the Lord knows that. That's why when I pray, I need to say, Lord, create me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. And you do too. We all do. We need to know that all spiritual blessings that we have and others. Chapter 1 of Ephesians, in verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with how many? All spiritual blessings. Where? Not just here on earth, in heavenly places, in Christ. That's worth contemplation. That's worth at least a whole sermon all by itself. So that's a little hope for the future there. Another thing we ought to be thankful for, God gives us an opportunity. He doesn't give to the bullfrogs or the butterflies. He didn't even give it to the angels, except on occasion to make some announcements. And that is, we live. Your life is a witness to somebody, to something. Some folks say, if they look at our life, oh, there's a person, and there's their political position. People put it out there for all to see. Some people are saying who they want to vote for in 2024 for president. No doubt about where they stand politically. But we're citizens of another world as well. And our highest allegiance is to our King Jesus. And that should show. Some people have plastered their car with bumper stickers. But if you don't live the life, you know, it's just one letter from life and lie. You'd be living a lie if you just talk the talk, but don't walk the walk. And our witness. Paul said, you are our epistles known and read of all men. We're to speak of the Lord with our mouths, with our actions, with the way we spend our time and our talents and our energies. What is first? Because we are to serve the Lord as long as we live, but while we live, how much do we focus upon? What priority do we place upon the Lord? I've heard Brother Heath say, and I'm sure many of you can remember many times, he said, for years I told our folks in MENA, you need to keep the Lord, make him number one. He says, nowadays I'm just satisfied to keep him in the top 10. Because there's so many other things crowding in, the cares of this world. You know what they do to your Christian life? They choke you. They minimize you. They trivialize you. They kick you to the curb. Huh. Live for Jesus, huh? Well, that's fine for 5 minutes, one day a week. Or maybe for a whole evening, once a year. You can do this, you can do that. The Lord says, constant, constant. Which day are you supposed to honor the Lord? Well, if it ends in a Y, you want to honor the Lord. Every day. Prayer. You know, when Paul says pray without ceasing, he didn't mean you got to go on your knees 24 hours, but there never should be a moment when you think, I really can't pray right now. If you ever feel that way, you probably need to pray more than you ever have needed to pray. Because some of you could be praying right now. I hope you pray for me. That I get it right. That I get it from the Word, and I see it, and it comes out of my mouth, and it's a blessing to you. Yeah. Pray that I'll say the right thing. Keep me back from saying something foolish about the Lord, something mistaken, something misleading, and also that I give all the counsel of God. You know, there's some preachers that have three sermons. And those are, you hear one version of one of those three. I heard about a guy who was on deputation, and he had like six sermons. He was going to be a missionary. And his wife said, could you hold off on number two? You preached that the last three times.
special blessing, special crown for preachers' wives, because they hear it, they see it, and even if it's good, you like variety. My wife cooks hamburger real well. I like it. But if she served me hamburger all the time, inmates in the ADZ say ADZ stands for all day chicken. Chicken. You get sick of chicken. Our daughter spent 4 years in South Korea. She was in South Korea, a free country, very progressive country. But for breakfast, they had rice. For lunch, they had rice. For dinner, they had rice. After a while, rice ain't so nice. She came to visit. And I said, Rebecca, we're planning to have rice. Is that okay? Can we have something else? Now, she will eat rice. My wife will eat macaroni and cheese. No, I still won't eat green beans. Unless you want me to get sick. That's just me. If you like green beans, that's great. I'm not going to make fun of them, but they just don't agree with me. But to go to the Lord, to have the opportunity to be thankful for prayer. What if you served somebody that didn't want to hear from you? I know some big shots, if they get a request, they have somebody in a room that reads the letter, and then they respond with a form letter, and they may never see it. I visited the office of a politician when I was working in California. And all around the room, he had stacks of dear blank. Congratulations, your graduation from blank. May you have many years to enjoy the fruits of your efforts in the school that you attended, blank. And so he had employees who would scan the newspapers, look for people graduating, looking for people to get promotion, looking for babies that are born, looking for marriages, anything to celebrate. Hey, that politician, he sent me a letter of congratulations. I sort of think if you walked up to him a week later and said, thanks, Senator, I really appreciated that. Oh, that what? You know, that letter you sent. To think that you took the time to think about me. And the senator's graduation. It feels kind of awkward, but it's just something that they go through the motions. Prayer should never be where you and I are just going through the motions. We sing a song, what a privilege it is to carry everything to Him in prayer. What if God, when we started to pray, said, don't bother me. Talk to the hand. I don't care. Leave you alone. Tell somebody else. Have you ever gotten that from the Lord? If that's the message you got, that wasn't the Lord talking. But there are people who will tell you, I can't be bothered. I don't feel the need. Work it out the best you can. Keep in touch. Click. No, that's not the Lord. It's the Lord who listens. It's I who ends the time when I pray to Him. I suspect it's that way with you. Not only are we thankful for prayer, but to be thankful in prayer. When the disciples requested instruction, He says, you need to start off knowing who you're talking to and to show the reverence, the respect that you need to, and then you make your requests known to the Lord. Now, some wives will say, well, God knows everything. He knows what I need. Yes, but He still likes to be asked. Lord gave us four kiddos. And they didn't have to get up in the morning. Daddy, could we please have breakfast? Daddy, could we please have a snack? Daddy, could I go to the refrigerator and get something to eat? Now, somebody I know used to be in a situation in their own home. They went open the fridge. And someone would say, are you in there stealing food? My kids never were afraid that I was going to accuse them of stealing food. But I still like to be asked. I'm going to come through the best I can, but still like to be asked. How much more our Heavenly Father? Yes, He does, but we have opportunity. Be thankful in and for all things. And at the risk of offending somebody, but the preachers have to know that they're bound to offend somebody unless they're preaching in a graveyard. In Romans 13, just like now I don't collaborate with Brother King, but you read that passage from Corinthians, prayers for all men? Prayers for all men. What do you think that means? You got the phone book and we'll start on the A. No, all sorts of men. That's why it's for rulers and those in authority. Do you pray for your elected leader? Sir. Guess what? You don't like them? Who's Paul writing to? The Romans? And the Romans were ruled by the Caesars, who sometimes captured and tortured and put to death for their pleasure. Christians. One of the craziest ones was Nero. He said they call themselves the light of the world. Well, let's see how bright they are. And he'd take their bodies, sometimes while they're still alive, and dip them in hot wax and use their burning carcasses to light his nighttime parties. He'd even make a snide remark. You've heard of these Christians? Yeah, they call themselves the light of the world. Well, they're pretty bright tonight, aren't they? Somebody said, that's sick. That was Nero. And Paul said, now don't pray for guys like Nero. No, Jesus said, pray for those who despitefully use you and persecute you. I've said this before, and probably here. If not, the first time you hear it, well, I hope you think about it. Don't forget it. I wonder how many in the early church there, in the book of Acts, they realized they were persecuted. Who's the number one persecutor? Saul of Tarsus. I just kind of wonder if somebody says, you know, the Lord said, pray for those who despitefully use you and persecute you. I'm going to commit to pray for Paul. I wonder if I wouldn't waste my time. Somebody might, he's obviously not a leper. How do you know? Well, you can tell. Really? How can you tell? Well, look how wicked he is. And Paul himself wrote later, such were some of you. But you've been washed, you've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. That's kind of a good song to say. And just supposing that fella in such and such a church who made it his habit to pray for their number one enemy, the number one adversary of the church, became the number one apologist for the church, the Apostle Paul. More books in the New Testament written by him than anybody else. Who was a blasphemer, who persecuted the church of God and wasted it. That was the old. And now the new. Doing all that he can to show that he is sold out. He is the bond slave of Jesus Christ. Maybe you'd be in the flesh for him to do it, but maybe that fella might say, fellas, you remember, we're listening to Paul preach and teach, and he's doing all this for the service of the Lord. Do you remember somebody saying, I'm going to pray for him? Oh, that was you, wasn't it?
Yeah, what else?
Well, nobody's perfect. But there's a reason why the Lord said that. So he said, well, I'm a member of this party, and I believe people that have these values and this orientation. I will pray for them. We need to pray for the righteous, of course. But when the ungodly are in power, you say, I can't say amen. I just say, oh me. God still says pray. Nobody that I know of in history was ever consistently antagonistic to the cause of Jesus Christ, the Rome. And then they got kind of soft. And then they did a major makeover. And they went to the point where they said, we're going to tolerate Christians. And then we're going to make Christianity the official religion. And there really wasn't much of more than a dime's difference between the old Rome and the new Rome. Except they called themselves Christian and they wore certain clothes and called themselves by certain things, but really, they're just as heathen as ever. The Babylon of the old became the Babylon of the new. And yet, the Lord didn't say, in this circumstance, you don't have to pray for it. No, he said to pray for those in power. Romans 13, the first 7 verses. I won't read it just now, but if you ever say, well, I'm not going to... Paul made it very clear. Honor to whom honor. And to be thankful. I'm not saying this to toot my own horn, so please don't think that's why I'm telling this. I had just gotten through, maybe an hour before, giving a class, and I talked to the students about how we should be thankful for all things. I had a second job I went to in Memphis, and I was clipping along down the highway. The sign said one thing, and my speedometer said another. There was a great disparity, and there was a policeman there that wanted to encourage me to respect the sign. So I pulled over. He got out his little notepad, and he didn't give me an invitation to a society meeting. No, he gave me a notice to appear before court. Gave me a ticket. And when he wrote the thing up, he said, here you go, sir. And I said, thank you, officer. What? You could have been a smart person. He didn't say person, but he called me a smart something. But he didn't mean I was intelligent. He meant I was crapping wise with it. And I said, well, I'm a preacher. I just got through talking to my students about how we're to be thankful for all things. I'd be a hypocrite if I didn't thank you. I can't say I'd like to do it, but I'm supposed to do it. Well, if I knew you were a, and he said some other words, preacher, I would have written you a ticket. Well, it's written now, so, well, I could tear it up. Well, officer, you do what you got to do, but as far as I'm concerned, I deserve that ticket. And I'm thinking in the back of my mind, at least I could use it someday as a sermon illustration of what we're supposed to do. I messed up, but tried to redeem it a little bit, but we remember that we have to answer to the Lord, even on the days when you have a bellyache. Even on days when it isn't a beautiful day. What a beautiful day it is. You know that song we sang, I think I heard my wife change the words, and I'm thankful she did. On that bright and cloudless morning when the dead in Christ shall rise. You ever think about, he's not going to come on a cloudless morning. Because Christ comes in the cloud. How can he come in the clouds if it's a cloudless morning? So, I hope that doesn't sound like I'm being too technical. But the fact is, every day is the Lord's day. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. I wouldn't say that on a cloudy day. I wouldn't say that when it's snowing. I wouldn't say that when the wind is blowing. Guess what? It's still the day that the Lord has made. And we aren't to rejoice. Just to think about Romans 8:28, the decree that God has given. He assures us that all things work together for good. This time last year, I was still weak as a kitten. I think I was just barely able to make one service a week, and that I was done in. We didn't have evening services or Wednesday night services. I don't think by this time of the year it was because of COVID. I think it was just because I was drained. It might be Tuesday or Wednesday before I felt like I got back to 5 or 6 cylinders out of 8. And then COVID hit. And so we're still feeling these things. But God used that in my life. And He uses things in your life. You hear about somebody's passing. You hear about somebody's this and that. And sometimes I hear Christian people, oh, how could God allow that? I think some people think, well, God just, He can't do everything. Oh, not the God I serve. He can and He's pleased to do all His will. There are no accidents. It happens according to His great plan, His great purpose. He has a master plan. Never forget what Joseph, after spending years in the prison for something he didn't do wrong, and they told his brothers, now, you're responsible. You meant evil against me. But overarching all of that, God meant it for good, to save much people. The very people who were evil, who were hateful, who were designed to destroy their kid brother, Joseph. God used their wrath to honor him, to bail them out when years later they had starved in their own land. We know that all things work together for good. Individual events in our lives, they might devastate you. You might have a night where you cry yourself to sleep. I think that's one reason why it says in the 30th Psalm, weeping may endure for the night, but joy cometh in the morning. We have a God in heaven, and He orchestrates these things. He has promised a security. Them that come to me, he that cometh to me, I will never cast out. If you have nothing else to thank God for, you thank Him for that. He's also given a promise to His people, the church. I've known some great Christian men and women in my life, and I was blessed to know them. And they're gone from this world now. They live on in my memories, and I have precious memories of them. But I want you to know something. God didn't say, oh, what am I going to do? So-and-so died. I got an email from somebody a year or so ago. They said, there's been a great blow to the Christian community. So-and-so, famous author, famous preacher. He died. Well, guess what? God told Joshua, Joshua chapter 1, Moses, my servant, is dead. I'm sure that tugged emotionally at Joshua. And God didn't say, it'll never be the same. You know, a while back I preached on indispensable things, but there's no human that's indispensable. Not you, not me, with the exception of the Lord Himself, the God-man, because He did what no one else could and no one else would. No angel, no apostle, nobody, nobody. And he's the one who said, I am with you to the end of the age. Even the gates of hell You can take that a lot of different ways. But all the people that heard those promises that we read about in the New Testament, they're all dead. They've been dead a long time. Or else we've got some 2,000-year-old Jews walking around someplace. But for all of those other things we talk about, in general and in particular, I'll tell you, I say what I consider, if there is a way to prioritize it, the last, and that is God's Son. Because everything else that you have, everywhere you've been, everything you've seen and heard, everyone you've ever associated with, and any hopes and aspirations you and I have, they are nothing compared to. And they are void without. They're worse than having Confederate money or monopoly money. You can't spend it. It might get a lot of people excited, but there's nothing meaningful to it. But we think about God's Son, Jesus Christ. He shed His blood for us. He set the right example by His life. His words were parables. His acts were miracles. All that He did. I want to close with 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 37. Because some people like gifts. We sing happy birthday. The twins have birthdays this week. Wow, that's great. People like birthdays. I get cake. I get ice cream. I get gifts. Gifts, gifts, and more gifts. But what is the greatest gift God has given you? Oh, my wife. My husband. No, that's not the greatest gift. My kiddos. Well, no. That's great, but that's the children of the heritage of the Lord, but that's not the greatest gift. God gave me my brain. God gave me my creativity. God gave me my friends. God gave me my opportunity. Yes, He gave you all those. And a list of other things too. But the greatest thing, 1 Corinthians 15:57. Thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. I said that was the last scripture, so just take my word for it. In John 4, Jesus came with a woman at the well. She was a woman, so she's thought of as less in that society. She was a Samaritan. She had a marital past that caused the other women not want to have much to do with her. And here she was, an outcast, three times over. And Jesus asks her for water. And He says, if you knew the gift of God, what a gift we have in Jesus Christ. Are you thankful to Him? Are you thankful for Him? You say, well, I'm thankful. A lot of those things you mentioned, yeah, I am, and I ought to be thankful. And yes, you should. I should too. But the greatest thing, if it is a thing, we think about Christ, His person and His work. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. That'd be a good song to sing if you ever don't have that one. Just a hint. But we need to be thankful people. It's just good sense. It's what the Lord commands us. The greatest examples we have in Scripture are those who were thankful. Be more like Abraham than Lot. Be more like Job than his sorry friends. We're looking for a way to trace the hand of God. Job knew the heart of God. And Job stood in his integrity. And he knew he wasn't perfect. If you think you met somebody that's perfect, you have either low standards or you just not looking in the right place. Mm-hmm. None of us are perfect, starting with me. But we have a great God. Amen. We have so much to be thankful for.